Video by Terence Rattigan and produced by Norman Wright, with Gwen Watford, Carlton Hobbs, Robert Harris, Noel Johnson and Robin Brown. Cause Célèbre.
Daily willing lad, 14 to 18, for housework. Scout train preferred.
What's that in?
Bournemouth Daily Echo. I was thinking of our George.
I know you were. No go, though, is it?
Why not?
Not scout trained.
He could always say he was. Young Freddie up the road could teach him the oath and the salute and maybe a couple of knots.
My George doesn't lie.
Oh, could it be a white one?
Anyway, he's over the age.
No, he's not. 14 to 18. 17's just right.
Some little nipper they want. Page boy or something. Anyway, the money'd be terrible.
Any money's worth it these days. You don't want him to go on the dole, do you, with the other 2 million?
2 million is an exaggeration. Mr. Ramsay MacDonald said so the other day.
I wish Mr. Ramsay MacDonald would go on the dole.
No need for that. We all know you'd have liked to have seen Red Revolution 40 years ago.
Oh.
Instead of which, we had a patriotic gentleman in Downing Street who put country before party.
And a fat lot he's done for the country, hasn't he?
I'd like to know where we'd all be now without him, that's all. National bankruptcy. That's what we'd have faced, instead of which we got
2 million unemployed.
Unemployable, half of them.
You can say things like that. You're in work. Building trade's doing all right now. Just wait till 1936, my boy.
Building trade always be all right. What with slum clearance and all that.
Just wait till next year, that's all. Well, what do I do about this? Or do you want our George to go on doing odd jobs for you, unpaid, all his life?
Where does it say to apply?
The Villa Madeira, Manor Road, Bournemouth. You put in the Bournemouth Daily Echo.
Send him away. They seem to be answering by the hundred, Irene. Tell him the post's already filled.
But it isn't. Don't be silly.
I chose that little fair-haired one yesterday.
And I meant to tell you, his scoutmaster called when you were out and, well, he said he was sorry, but didn't sound a suitable place.
Mm-hmm. I must have made a bad impression. What did I do, I wonder? Use a naughty word or something.
You must have told him you'd been divorced. The scoutmaster mentioned that.
I talk too much. That's my trouble. Still, it was 8 years ago, and in Canada. It doesn't seem any harm.
And you filled him up with gin?
That little boy? I couldn't have.
Well, the scoutmaster says you did.
Oh, yes, I remember. Uh-huh. He'd walked all the way from Boscombe and was thirsty, poor little chap. I gave him a lemonade and he said it had lost its fizz, so I put a thimbleful of gin just to liven it up. He liked it so much he asked for another.
And you gave it him?
Only a finger, Irene. Oh. He'd got that long walk back, remember? Poor little mutt.
He's 15, and it's against the law.
Silly law. When I was his age, I was drinking men of 30 and 40 under the table.
Yeah, well, you'd join them later, no doubt.
Well, that would depend, wouldn't it? They didn't all look like Rommel Coleman. None of them did, come to think of it. So, the scoutmaster thought his little Timmy was going to work in a maison. I hope little Timmy didn't think I was the madam, though. I haven't reached that age yet. Well, let's see this one, then.
All right, I'll send him in. The mistress will see you now.
Thank you.
Oh, hello.
Good afternoon.
Goodness, you're very big for a Boy Scout.
I'm not a Boy Scout.
Oh, of course, the advert says Scout Train, doesn't it?
Yes. But I'm not even that.
Well, that's honest. I must say I like you for that. I always say there's nothing like honesty in this life.
Yes. Well, I could have lied, of course. My grandma wanted me to lie, but I thought you'd find me out if I did.
Oh, I'd never have found you out. I'm far too trusting. That's my nature, really. Trusting.
Yes.
How ever did you think I could find you out?
Oh, knots, perhaps?
Knots? Me? I don't know a granny from a noose, and that's a fact. How old are you?
17.
You don't look 17.
18 in November.
I didn't mislead you just now, did I, when I said I was too trusting? You're really telling me the truth?
I always tell the truth.
Yes, I can see you do. Nice, open face. You can always tell liars just by looking at them. You're quite fully grown, are you?
Yes, in all respects.
You see, I was really looking more for a real boy. You know, 15, 16, something like that.
Yes, I see. Well, I thought I might be too old for you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I didn't say you were too old. I mean, 17's all right.
You mean I'll do?
Well, hadn't I better tell you what your duties will be?
Oh, it says housework.
Yes. Helping out Irene Riggs. That was Irene who let you in. You'd be under her, you see.
Oh.
Well, you mustn't mind that. Irene isn't just a maid. She's more like a companion, really.
Yes.
So you'd be more like a companion to a companion, if you see what I mean. We don't stand for social distinctions in this house, or ceremony either. All friends together, I always say.
Yes. Would I be living in?
I'm afraid not. Irene does, of course, but we've only one other spare room, and that's upstairs, right next to Irene's and mine. And I've a little boy of 6 who sleeps up there, too. Also, my elder son, Christopher, when he's at home.
Elder? Not by much, I wouldn't think.
Well, he's 13. By my second husband. Mr. Rattenbury is my third, believe it or not.
I'll believe. But only because you say it.
Well, thank you. Mind you, I did start young. Mr. Rattenbury, of course, is rather old, and he sleeps down here. In there, the stairs being too much for him.
I see.
Of course, if you'd been a little boy, like I meant in the advert, you could have slept up in a spare. If you'd been a really little boy. But being as you are, me and Irene slipping about upstairs with next to nothing on, well, it would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it? And with an invalid husband and all.
Yes.
Do you live near?
Half hour's walk.
Of course, I'd make allowance for that with your hours.
Can I ask how much?
£1 a week. I'm sorry, but I can't afford more, what with the slump and times being so bad. That's why I put boy, you see.
Yes. £1's all right.
Oh, good. So that's settled then. Do you want to see the rest of the house?
Not much point, is there, as I won't be living in it.
No. Perhaps you'd like to have a talk to Irene.
Not unless you want me to.
She doesn't do the choosing. I do that. And you suit me fine.
When shall I start, then?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Good. Well, we'll have a little drinky on that, shall we?
Afraid I don't drink.
Ah, that's just what you tell your prospective employers. I'm thinking of that half an hour's walk. Do you like gin in it?
I can't rightly say, miss. Sorry, it's Mrs., isn't it?
Yes, Mrs. Rattenbury. First name, Alma. And what's your name?
Wood.
First name?
George. George Alfred. I don't know why, but I'm usually called Alfred.
Well, just to be different, I'll call you George. I like to be different, you see. I mean, where's the fun in being like everyone else? This is a lovely world, I always say, and we're put into it to enjoy it. Don't you agree?
I might. I don't think my dad and gran would. They're religious.
Well, our dear Lord didn't say we mustn't have fun, did he? He turned water into wine, not wine into water. And he said, love each other, and I think we should. Well, here's health. And a very happy association, I'm sure. Too strong for you. It's only half and half. Some people make it 5 parts gin to 1 part of Italian. Here, George. Come here. Over to the piano. Recognize this lady?
What? It's you.
That's right.
Night Brings Me You by Lausanne.
That's right.
But you said you were Alma. Alma Rattenbury.
Oh, Lausanne is just my pen name.
So you wrote a song?
Yes, and plenty of others too.
You're a songwriter?
Yes.
Like George Gershwin?
Well, sort of the same style. I only wish I sold as well.
But you've been published anyway, and with your photograph too.
Yes, I'm afraid it's rather an old photograph.
Yes, I can see that. But of course anyone could still tell it was you.
Thank you. It's 12 years old. And I was 26 when it was taken. Oh, dear, what have I said? Now you can work out my real age.
48. Oh, sorry. 38. I never was any good at arithmetic.
You want to hear the song?
Oh, yes, please.
Night brings me stars above this bright world softly beaming. Night brings the moon across the blue hills brightly gleaming. Night brings me you, and then all my heart dear. Enjoy your walkie.
No. It came on to rain and the evening paper says shares have gone to hell again. Bring the whiskey over, will you?
Isn't it a bit early for you?
No, not tonight.
You're probably wondering who this is.
No, I wasn't. But who is he?
His name is Wood and he's the new help.
Oh. Is that a boy?
Well, he is. He's only 17.
He doesn't look it.
I know. Quite the man, isn't he?
Quite the man. What work have you done before?
Nothing regular, sir. Just odd jobs for my dad.
What's his line?
Building.
Oh, that's how you got so muscular.
You got any references?
What are they?
Is there anyone who'll vouch for you?
Oh, well, just my dad and grandma.
I'll vouch for him.
Oh. You know him?
No, but I'll vouch for him. Instinct, that's all. I've got an instinct about him, and you know about my instinct.
Oh, yes, I know about it. Like when you told me to buy those rubber shares, they've gone to nothing.
They'll be all right, you see. Everything always turns out good when my instinct comes into it. That one went down pretty fast.
All right, so it did. My whiskey?
No one's disputing that, dear.
I noticed you two at the gin already.
Well, it seemed only hospitable with a new guest.
Guest? He's here to work, Alma. Not to sozzle my alcohol. Do you know what a bottle of gin costs these days? 12 and 6.
I don't drink, Mr. Rattenbury. Really, I don't. I was telling Mrs. Rattenbury.
Never mind him. He's just in one of his moods, that's all. It's all right. He can't hear. He's as deaf as a post. But you'd better go. George is going, dear.
George? Who's George?
George Wood.
Oh, him. Yeah. Oh, does he drive a car?
I've got a license.
Well, isn't that marvellous? Isn't that marvellous, darling? We've got ourselves a chauffeur.
No uniform?
No, of course not. Well, perhaps just a cap and a Macintosh. You'd look nice in a cap.
What do you say?
I was saying, no uniform, dear. Better finish that and go. You'll get used to it.
No, never. Not to drink. I disapprove of drink.
I'm off then, dear.
And what else do you disapprove of?
Well, that'd be asking, wouldn't it?
A white cap, I think, with a blue badge.
What time does he want his supper?
You better make it a bit earlier. He's on his second already. Oh, Irene, this is the new help. He's coming tomorrow.
Is he?
Well, good night, Mrs. Rattenbury. I'll be seeing you.
Nice young chap. Ever so well spoken and quite educated. He appreciates music, too.
Does he?
It'll be nice to have a man about the house, won't it?
Provided he is about the house, not in it.
Really, Irene, what do you take me for?
Well, sometimes I don't know, and that's a fact. Supper early, then.
Supper early?
Now, dear, let's try and cheer you up. How about a nice game of cards?
Bournemouth, horrible murder, ladies. Thank you, Gov. Rattenbury and Wood, ladies.
Thank you, missus. Have a nice read. Good, juicy murder, I can tell you.
Bournemouth murder, ladies.
Oh, Mrs. Davenport, I've got your morning post. I'm sorry it's late for your breakfast, but it seems there's been quite a rush on them this morning.
A dreadful case, I suppose.
Yes. You know, some of the guests wouldn't wait, but went out to buy them from Gloucester Road Tube Station.
Oh, dear, how could they? I don't want to read about it at all. And unlike some of them, I really mean it. But it surely won't be in the Morning Post.
Oh, yes, it is. Front page and all. Look.
Oh, dear. You know, I really don't want it this morning. Would you like to keep it?
Thank you, Mrs. Davenport. The wife will like it. We only get the mirror. Cool, you should have seen the mirror this morning. 6 pages of photographs.
I'm glad I didn't.
Yes. Nice looking lad he is. Pity. Only 17 when he met her. Now he's over 18, of course. Hanging age, I'm afraid. My view is they ought to hang her. Give him a good birching and let him go. Cor, what a woman.
Thank you, Barker.
Don't write
Good morning, Mrs. Davenport.
Good morning, General.
Nice day, isn't it? Perhaps spring is on the way at last.
If only it weren't for this frightful murder case.
Mrs. Davenport, perhaps you can settle a point between Miss Wattle and I.
Me?
Me? Oh, General, you're so pedantic.
Yes, I am, Mrs. Radley, I am. Can't help it. What are the failings of age?
What is the point, Mrs. Radley?
Your father was a judge, wasn't he?
Yes, in Simla.
Well, you must know the law better than we do. I mean, if 2 people confess to the same crime...
I'm sorry,
which they patently couldn't have committed together.
But as the woman was blind, drunk, apparently, and doped as well, and the boy admits to having taken 2 whole egg cupfuls of cocaine, they probably did do it together. And we'll both swing together and swear by the best of schools. Anything wrong, Mrs. Davenport?
I'm sorry. I must go to my room.
Bit squeamish, are we?
After all, dear, it's all over your Morning Post.
Which is why I haven't read my Morning Post. The New York Times, a newspaper of which you've probably neither of you ever heard, has a motto, all the news that's fit to print.
How do you come to read that?
I was in America for quite some time. My husband has business interests there.
Oh, had he?
I said has.
But I didn't know your husband was still alive.
I'm surprised, Miss Wattle. There's very little you seem not to know about your fellow guests at the Cornwall Gardens Hotel. I'm sorry, Mrs. Radley. What was the question of law you wanted to know?
Oh, my dear, if it disturbs you so much...
The law doesn't disturb me. The cases that it sometimes has to try can do. What is your question?
I've asked it, really. It was the others who made a joke of it. If 2 people confess to the same crime that only one could have committed, can they both be found guilty?
The law is perfectly clear on that. If 2 people plot a murder together, but only one commits it, They are both equally guilty of murder.
Equally? But wouldn't you say that in this case, the woman is far more guilty than the boy?
Not before the law, Miss Johnson, which knows no qualification of guilt.
Oh.
But if you ask me that question as one human being to another, I would agree with you utterly. Utterly, utterly. Forgive me. I'll see you at lunch.
I'll come with you.
Wowee! The Cornwall Gardens Hotel has a glamorous divorcee.
Hardly glamorous, dear.
And hardly the guilty party, I would think.
Oh, dear. Imagine the gossip in the lounge now about me.
Are you divorced?
Not yet. Separated. But going to be divorced now we've agreed about our boy.
Only child.
I've demanded and I've got full legal custody.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'll let him see his father, of course, but not with that woman. I'm sorry, General, to be embarrassing. Oh. I'm speaking freely because, of course, now I'll have to leave this hotel.
Hmm?
I don't know what possessed me to blurt it out just now. I've done it before, too, which is why I'm always changing hotels.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Davenport, we're not living under Queen Victoria. This is 1935. Divorce doesn't mean anything these days.
It means everything in places like this.
And why do you live in places like this?
Well, when you're alone, quite alone, you haven't much choice.
Well, at least now you'll have your son.
At holidays. He's still at school, you see.
Oh, where?
Near Bournemouth.
And how old is he?
17.
I see. Yes, yes, I understand now. No wonder the old girl's upset you.
I do love him very much, you see. After all, he's really all I have left. Thank you, General, for being so very kind.
A pleasure.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them which trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. I have a brief announcement. By order of the headmaster, I have had certain excisions made in today's national newspapers in the house library. While the Bournemouth Echo and the other local papers have been excluded altogether, I would advise you all against undue curiosity, which, as we all know, kills the cat. And will, I regret, if carried to excess, lead certain boys to the headmaster's study. That is all. Thank you.
Hey, Davenport. You're for the headmaster's study, aren't you?
On my way there to confess my grievous sin.
Don't wave it around like the Union Jack, Langdon. A bloody prefect might see it. Go over into that corner. It's yours if you're caught.
All right. Where'd you get it?
Matron, of course, from whom I get everything.
Not everything, I trust.
What I always say about you, Brown, is that your mind is as filthy as your fingernails.
Now, after you with that rag, Langdon.
All right. It's smashing stuff. You'll love it.
Will I?
No. A chauffeur of 18 goes to bed with his employer's wife, aged 38. Yeah. We've got far fruitier scandals here.
Ah, but they wouldn't print ours.
Oh, I don't know. The Sunday Press sometimes print about curates and choir boys, you know.
And that's bloody dull, too.
I thought it wasn't dull to you.
God, a chap's got to do something, hasn't he? Or else he'd go raving mad. Anyway, you're no one to talk.
What do you mean?
That Siamese prince.
Purely platonic.
Oh, that's funny.
What's funny?
Well, if you were in the classical sixth, you'd learn what platonic really meant.
Leave it a purely, then.
No.
I wonder what our parents think we do between the ages of 13 and 18.
What we do, I imagine.
It's such damn humbug. No female of our age will look at us, and any female older than us isn't allowed to have us. Look at this Mrs. Rattenbury.
I can't. You've given the paper away. Is she attractive?
Damned attractive, and not so old, really. I mean, 38.
Yeah. How often did they do it?
Well, a lot. You see, he first lived out of the house. Then about 6 weeks later, she asked him to live in.
Oh.
So they must have done it before that.
Yes.
Gosh, I almost envy him. I mean, at least he'll have lived.
you wanted?
My grandma.
Now your solicitor.
What, again? I told him everything.
Don't suppose he thinks so, but they never do. Besides, this time he's got a barrister with him. Wood, gentlemen.
Thank you, Warder. We'll ring when we're finished.
Very good, Mr. Harvey. Mr. Castle, sir.
How are you, Wood?
No complaints.
I see by your reports that you're continuing to put on weight. 8 pounds since you came here. That's good.
Good for the hangman, too.
I don't care for those kind of jokes. This is Mr. Caswell, who is defending you at the Old Bailey.
I know, I've heard.
And at some personal sacrifice, I may say.
I expect so. I don't suppose you pulled down much of a screw under the poor prisoner's defense thingamy.
No. Harvey, perhaps you'll allow a brief of legal etiquette and amuse yourself with a punch in the waiting room.
As you please, sir.
Do you make a lot of jokes about being hanged?
Well, one's got to see the funny side, don't one?
One meaning yourself?
Precise, you legal gentlemen are, aren't you?
We are taught to be, Mr. Wood. You are of age to be hanged. Why do you make jokes about it?
Look, if you're trying to put the wind up me, Mr. Castles, or whatever the name is...
Caswell.
Caswell. Well, it just won't work. I don't scare, you see? Mr. Harvey will tell you that. If you want to know why I make jokes about my hanging, it's mostly to annoy Mr. Harvey.
Why should you wish to do that?
Because he don't believe my story.
Perhaps I will. Would you tell it to me?
It's in those notes you've got there, right in front of you.
It may be, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Where shall I begin?
Perhaps... the night of March the 24th of this year.
All right. I'll come straight to the point. Mrs. Rattenbury had nothing to do with it. I'd done everything myself. She didn't know till afterwards, and when I told her, she threw a fit.
What did you tell her?
That I'd banged her old husband 3 times on the head with a mallet and most likely killed him.
I see. Did you tell her why you'd done this?
You bet I told her why. I said I'd seen her having... having, what's a polite word for it?
Connection?
Connection. Connection. With her husband, that afternoon, after tea up in her room.
Seen?
All right. Let's be precise, then.
It would be better.
I heard. That door, the door into her bedroom, that was always kept open, see? She had something propping it open because her dog used to go in and out, and whenever her little nipper was there, the small one, 5, 6-year-old, she was specially careful to keep it open because he'd be in and out all the day. Little bastard. And the other one, the 13-year-old one, Christopher, he'd be worse. Just learnt what it was for, you see. Bloody nuisance they were.
I can imagine.
Well, that's why she and me never did anything in the daytime when they were there, see.
But on the afternoon of March the 24th, it was little John who was in the house, not Christopher.
Christopher was at school. Little John was all over the house, as per, shouting his head off, turning somersaults, screaming for his mummy or his daddy. Well, you know what little bleeders of his age are like. And this was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, mind you, with the little sod out in the garden in full blast.
And after you'd brought Mr. and Mrs. Rattenbury their tea, the door to her bedroom was closed?
Yes. Locked? Needn't be, need it. Chauffeur's no right to go opening doors.
With Mr. Rattenbury still inside?
Yes. Well, that may be suspicious for a start. He never had tea in our bedroom before. It was as much as he could do to climb those stairs. Never ever left ground floor level, which is where his bedroom was.
Of course. How long was that door closed that afternoon?
Long enough.
For what?
For... what was that word?
Connection.
Connection.
But I understand the old gentleman was no longer capable.
Yes. And that's what I understood, too. But he was capable that afternoon, all right? All right?
You heard the sounds of sexual intercourse. I asked of sexual intercourse.
Not so polite now, are we?
Why didn't you interrupt?
Oh, I know my place. Just a servant, that's all. And the next day I was supposed to drive them off on their second honeymoon as a chauffeur and be given a servant's room, probably sharing and having dinner in the servant's hall. Oh, no, thank you, I said to myself. No bloody thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Rattenbury, I said.
That would be, have been, their projected visit to their friend, Mr. Jenks, at Bridport.
That's right. They'd have shared a room there as man and wife, see?
I understand. That Mrs. Rattenbury says that Mr. Jenks has 2 guest rooms in his house, and that the understanding always was They should not share the room.
Mrs. Wattenbury is a bloody liar. Yes. Oh, we've made a heavy note there, haven't we? All right. You can quote me, and you can quote this. Mrs. Wattenbury, drunk and sex-mad bloody cow that she is the only woman I've ever loved or ever will. Get that?
Yes. I understand that before you met Mrs. Wattenbury, you didn't have much experience of women.
That's right. Past a blank and future a bloody nothing. Isn't that what you meant, Mr. Caswell?
No. I was taking down your words.
Well, you better amend that statement. Yeah, that's a phrase I've learnt lately. Take this down. Mrs. Wattenbury is the only woman I ever had, and who also is, for obvious reasons, the only woman I ever will have. I think she's a liar and a cheat and a drunk, and it'd have been a great thing for us both if I'd never met her. But I love the bitch.
Still love her?
Still, Mr. Caswell. You don't believe me, do you?
It is my duty to believe my clients. Now, let's go back. You say you told Mrs. Wattenbury you had banged her husband 3 times on the head and most likely killed him. What time did you tell her you had done this?
Directly after I'd done it.
Directly after? Didn't you first go into the garden and dispose of the mallet?
Yes, that's true.
How long did that take you?
Well, I had to find a place to hide it, say about 10 minutes. Went upstairs to my room.
Did you undress?
Yes.
Then what did you do?
Went into Mrs. Wattenbury's room and told her what I'd done.
Did you tell her at once?
No. It took me time. It's not something you say straight off, darling, I've killed your husband.
Describe the scene.
Well, I took my pajamas off.
The silk ones she bought you on your trip to London?
Yes. She liked me in them, but she preferred me out of them.
She was expecting you?
Of course.
Hello, darling. Late, aren't you? It's no way to treat 3 guinea pajamas. Fold them up properly, there's a good boy. Why the light out? Turned all modest all of a sudden, have we?
No trouble, Alma.
What, again? How much have you lost on the horses this time?
Real trouble.
Real trouble? There's no such thing, that's what I always say. It's a lovely life, darling. You mustn't let worry spoil it. Come on, look at me and tell me, what is it?
I can't tell you.
Is it that bad?
It's worse than that bad. It's terrible.
You mustn't cry, dear. Nothing's worth that. What is it? Is it something to do with that row we had downstairs about rats and me going to the Jenks? But there are 2 guest rooms. I've told you and told you.
I don't believe you. Anyway, what about me and the servants all treated like dirt while you and old rats are making whoopee like the old time does?
God, how often do I have to tell you? Rats can't do it anymore. Not for 6 years. Not since I had little John.
You lying cow.
No, darling. How I may be, it just depends on how you see me. But lying, never. In all these 5 months, I've never told a lie. Never.
Why was that door shut?
I've told you I don't know. A gust of wind must have caught it.
A gust of wind? I know what you were up to. Well, you won't be up to it again, and that's not a lie. I tell you that.
George, what have you done?
You
must tell me.
You won't be able to bear it.
Oh, yes. I've borne a lot of things in this life. I'm quite strong enough to bear your troubles now as well as mine. You've had a fight with rats, is that it?
Not a fight. No. Oh, God, Alma, forgive me.
You've hurt him, haven't you?
Yes.
Badly?
Yes. He was asleep in his chair downstairs. I had a mallet in my hand.
Oh, my God, no. Oh. What's that?
It must be him. I thought he was dead.
Oh, God, poor rats.
Don't go down.
But I must go, Jamie. He's hurt. I must help him.
Don't know.
I must. I'm coming, Ratsy. I'm coming, darling.
see.
And then you went down?
Yes.
At once?
Well, I finished my cigarette first. I know that sounds heartless, but it wasn't. I knew we couldn't help him. I knew he was done for.
You knew that, did you?
Well, it stands to reason. He was an old chap, 67, and I'd hit him hard, real hard.
Yes. When you did go downstairs, what did you find?
Well, she was in a fine state, Mrs. Rattenbury. She was kneeling on the floor in the blood and all, crying out, oh, poor rats, poor rats, poor rats, over and over again. She was trying to put his false teeth in. They'd fallen out on the carpet, and every time she put them back, they'd fall out again. She was in a fine old state, I tell you. I had to give her a stiff whiskey, although I never approved of her drinking, but this was special, and she'd no sooner got it down than she was sick all over the place, and I had to give her another.
Which she kept down?
Yes, that one she did. From that moment on, she went on and on until she had the best part of a bottle. And all the time she kept saying, oh, poor rats. And trying to get his teeth back. Until Irene stopped her.
Then what did you do?
I helped carry him from the chair to his bed. And that's no easy job, I can tell you. In fact, the women weren't much use. I had more or less to carry him myself.
What were your thoughts when you were more or less carrying him to his bed?
My thoughts? Ah, now you know I can't tell you that now, can I?
Why can't you?
Because I didn't have any thoughts, did I? Not the whole of that night. Not responsible for any of my actions. I was crazed, see?
Crazed? Crazed with what?
Look, it must be there in front of you. Those are Mr. Harvey's notes, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. But I'm afraid I can see nothing here about your not being responsible for your actions on the night of March the 24th.
Look, it's got to be down there. Doesn't it say anything about dope?
What dope?
Well, the cocaine I took. You mean he hasn't even bothered to write it down?
Apparently not. Perhaps he didn't think it important.
Important? 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 Jesus Christ, it's the most important bloody thing in the whole bloody world. It's just my old bloody defense, that's all.
Is it? Is it indeed? Your whole defense? Well, perhaps I'd better get it done. What is this about cocaine?
I was under its influence that night, that's what.
The whole night?
Well, when I swatted him anyway, I was confused. I was under the influence, see? I didn't know what I was doing, all that.
And when you went to borrow that mallet from your grandmother, were you under the influence then?
Well, I must have been, mustn't I? It stands to reason.
I suppose it does. But your grandmother says here that you stayed with her half an hour and talked perfectly normally with her about such things as what was going to win the Grand National.
Ah, but that's what's so pernicious about cocaine, see? On the outside, it makes you seem perfectly normal, but on the inside, your mind's just seething.
Seething with what?
More terrible, confused thoughts.
Such as how to kill your mistress's husband?
If you like. Yes. But confused, see. Always confused.
Borrowing a mallet for that purpose, concealing it after the crime in the garden, and trying to make it look as if some outsider had committed the murder, that was being confused too, was it?
Well, of course. You don't know what this drug does to one's mind, Mr. Caswell. It's a terrible drug. Really it is. But you can think quite clear with it. Well, that's what's so pernicious.
Yes. How much of it did you take that night?
2 heaped egg cupfuls. That's a large dose.
Very large. About enough to poison the entire Romanian army, I would say.
But I was an addict, see?
Yes. To take that dose and stay alive, you must have been. I would reckon you would have had to have been taking it regularly for about 10 years.
Yes. I started very young.
When you were about 8?
Something like that.
Yes. Who started you on it?
Well, no one really started me. I found it and took it by accident.
Where did you find it?
In my dad's medicine chest in the bathroom.
It's a wonder you could reach it.
I was tall for my age.
And your father was an addict?
No. I expect he was taking it as a medicine.
For what?
How would I know? It just
looked like nice stuff, so I thought I'd have a sniff.
Why a sniff, Mr. Wood?
Well, that's how you take cocaine. Everyone knows that. Even at 8, I knew that.
Really?
How? I'd read about it in magazines and things. I was forward for my age, you see.
Forward and tall. The bottle was labelled cocaine, then?
No, it wouldn't have been, would it? A dangerous drug, something like that.
Yes, how did you know it was to be sniffed, then?
Well, from the look of it, of course. I mean, you could tell it was cocaine just from the look.
Tell me, what does it look like?
Well, you can't mistake it.
I think you said that before.
Did I? Well, you can't, you see. It's powder.
Yes. What distinguishes it from, say, talcum powder?
The colour.
I see. And what is the colour?
Brown.
Brown? What shade?
Medium. And then it has these black specks in it.
With black specks in it. I see. I wonder why it's called snow.
Beg pardon?
Snow. That's a slang term for cocaine. Surely you must know that. Harvey, come in, would you? Please tell Mr. Wood, Harvey, why the slang term for cocaine is snow.
Because the powder is white.
Is it ever sold in any other colour?
No. No, if it were not white, the purchaser would never accept it.
So that, Mr. Wood, is your whole defence, is it? Don't you think you should apologise to Mr. Harvey?
What for?
Trying to annoy him for daring to disbelieve your story, and by making bad and painful jokes about hanging. If you must die, as you seem determined to, can't you at least die with dignity?
And how do I do that?
By allowing us to tell the truth on your behalf. And then from the witness box by telling the truth yourself.
What's the truth? I'd be glad to hear that, I'm sure.
That you killed Mr. Rattenbury in a fit of insane jealousy because you believed, mistakenly, that he had usurped your rights as a lover.
You think that's a defense?
It could be.
How?
I could plead your youth, your inexperience, the bad influence you were under.
Ah, that'll bring her in, won't it?
I'll have to bring her in anyway.
Not as a bad influence, you don't.
Ring the bell, Harvey. I will have to bring her in as the woman you loved and still love. And let the jury form their own conclusions as to her influence upon you. Whatever story you care to tell, that will be my duty. We have finished, Warder.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I shall come and see you again in a few days. By then, I hope you will understand that in a high court of justice, nothing can be hidden. Not even the true color of snow.
Oh, quick march.
Will you take these papers, Harvey?
Of course. How did you get on?
Not too well, I'm afraid. Yes, I'm afraid he beat me. Pity. You see, I'd reckoned on his vanity, on his infantilism, on his false heroics, and on his very real fear of death. In all that, I was right, I think. But I left out one thing, and so things were ditches in the end, I'm afraid.
What's that, sir?
The genuineness of his love for a drunken, sex-mad, bloody cow. That being his description of his co-defendant.
No, I think they'd look better by the window, after all. Thank you, Gladys. Yes, I was right.
Hello, Mrs. Davenport.
Hello, Miss Wilkinson.
So, you've gone and bought flowers for your son, have you?
Aren't they lovely?
Quite beautiful. The sad thing is that boys so seldom appreciate flowers.
My boy does.
An unusual type of boy, is he?
I wouldn't say so. A little further to the right, Gladys. Thank you.
That oriental little chap was asking for him again.
Prince Fenlong?
He's a prince, is he? Oh, but in the Far East, they all call themselves princes.
Do they? This one is the nephew of the king.
King? What king?
Of an am, I think, although I'm never quite sure. He's a schoolfellow of my son's.
He looks much younger than 17. Isn't your son 17?
They are apt to look younger in the Far East. What did the prince want?
Just to know when your Tony was arriving, that's all. Apparently they had a date to meet in London. During the halls, as he put it.
I hope you told him.
Frankly, I thought you'd rather I didn't. I mean, you can't really trust Orientals, can you? East is East and West is West.
And never the twain shall meet.
Oh, dear, I do hope I don't have to ring up the Annam Legation and apologize.
I'm sorry, but he didn't say he was a prince.
Princes rarely do. Was there anything else, Miss Wilkinson?
Oh, some post for you, sent on from the Cornwall Gardens Hotel.
Thank you.
The On His Majesty's service looks important. It has urgent, if absent, please forward, and it's dated over 2 weeks ago. They're slack at that hotel, I always did say. Shall I open it?
Thank you, I'll open it first.
Funny time for your son to come visiting you, Mrs. Davenport. His holidays must have started over 2 weeks ago.
They did. He's been staying with friends.
Oh, really? You saw him before he left, I suppose.
No, he went straight out to the south of France from school.
He can look after himself, then?
Yes.
What time are you expecting him? I have to know because of the tables.
I hope to see him before dinner. If not, I'll let you know.
You don't know what time his train arrives?
I don't even know if it is a train.
A plane? Well, aren't we modern? Of course, planes can arrive at any time. And we've got the special Dandon Lorraine tonight.
I will let you know in good time, Miss Wilkinson. Thank you very much. So kind of you to bring up my post. Temple Bar 0329, please. Could I speak to Sir Harold? Mrs. Davenport. Harold, I'm being a nuisance. But I've had a call for jury service. You know, fail not at your peril, etc. April the 15th, that's next Monday. It says, and I've got it late because of moving hotel. I know, it's musical hotels for me. Well, there are reasons. No, the thing that makes it impossible is that Tony is coming to me tonight. I was going to take him up to Scotland on Sunday. St. Andrews for the amateur golf championship. You know how mad he is about golf. And I've got room for him. You don't think that's enough excuse? What's the poor boy to do all by himself in his ghastly hotel for 2 weeks? Central Criminal Court. You can't do anything. Is there anyone who might? No, I understand that. There's a whole... But what about special hardship? Not that kind of hardship. Well, I don't know what could be worse. I agree. We've got a lot to help with. Thank you. Not to be easy. Yes, boys make friends easily, I know, and that's what I'm afraid of. There are lots of undesirable girls out there, at St. Andrews and anywhere else.
I think they're coming into land of Troy. Oh,
I'm going to not see them. Look! Look! That's the center. Oh, right there.
Yes.
Of course, you've done this a lot.
Too much.
Might I ask you to finish your champagne? Are we landing? The angle of our defense certainly favors.
Hold on to everything.
No need to do that, sir. The captain has the whole area to choose from. The grass is always kept in excellent condition. A little bumpy sometimes, but in April, of course, no matter.
What's our landing speed?
Let's try. 40 miles an hour, there or thereabouts. Quite painless, Peter. If I might look out of your window. Yes, you find it down, sir, as in a course. Yes, our Imperial Airways standard has been hoisted. The captain works it by electricity in his cabin. And it always denotes the successful termination of our flight.
Well, Tony, I'm afraid this is goodbye.
Aren't you coming with me to Mum's hotel?
No, better not. Sorry, old son.
It's a different hotel. Why does she keep changing?
I have no idea. You have the new address?
Yes, Dad.
You'd better take the airport bus to Victoria Air Terminus and get a taxi on from there.
You've got a car?
Yes, the company car, but there'll be people meeting me, and I'd rather...
I understand.
Sorry.
That's all right, Dad. Can I ask one thing?
Yes?
Mum always talks to me, well, sometimes talks to me, about that woman, etc., etc.
Yes?
Well, there isn't any that woman, is there? I mean, I've been with you for 3 weeks, and I'm not half-witted.
No, you're not.
I mean, there were no broken-off telephone calls, like Mum does sometimes when she's talking about you or me, and a burst of French like, il est entré, oui, lui-même, le gosse, c'est ça, etc. I often wonder why you sent us to expensive schools to learn French, and then, when you don't want us to understand something, speak it a bit worse than even we do. Dad, is there any that woman?
No.
Passengers may now alight. Then why not tell her?
It's better for her to think that there is a that woman. Come on.
Follow me, please. Only a short walk to passport control.
I don't understand that.
I didn't think you would, Tony.
But if there's no one else, serious that is, couldn't you tell her?
I'd like to, Tony. For your sake as much as mine. Perhaps more for your sake. But it's just not possible.
You still love Mum, don't you?
Passport, please. British Dominions and Imperial subjects this way. Alien, join the queue, please.
Don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then.
Love is a portmanteau word, Tony. It covers so many things. The kind of love I have for your mother isn't quite the kind she has for me.
But she does love you, Dad. I know that.
So do I, but her love falls rather short of something I still need. Perhaps I shouldn't need it still, but I do.
Thank you, sir. And this is your son?
Yes.
Best love for you, sir.
I'm glad.
Oh, gentlemen.
Thank you.
On a taxi, sir.
And now I have a car meeting me, and my son's travelling by the bus.
Yes, sir.
Try to get him the seat next to the driver.
Certainly, sir.
Well, goodbye, Dad.
Goodbye, Tony. I'll be thinking of you.
Thank you for a marvellous time.
A bit dull, I'm afraid.
Oh, not kind. That was smashing.
You didn't like Paris?
Well, a bit disappointing.
Disappointing? The Champs-Élysées, the Rue de Rivoli?
Oh, no, all that side of it was fine. I just meant...
Just meant what?
Well, don't think I'm ungrateful, Dad, but you did promise to take me to a... To a... You know, that house of all nations.
Tony, I did remember that. It's just that I'd forgotten you were underage. Legally, I mean.
You could have said I was 18.
You have to take your passport, you see.
A passport to a brothel?
Well, they're strict about underage.
Oh, God, even in France. I'll have to try Turkey or somewhere.
Why Turkey? Why not German Street?
All aboard, please.
Well, goodbye again.
Dad, what shall I tell Mum about that woman?
Tell her you didn't meet her, but I was always talking to her on the telephone.
I don't understand why you want to make her unhappy with a lie.
It doesn't make her unhappy, Tony. It's the truth that would do that.
I don't understand. Really, I don't.
It's a question of pride. Look, here's a fiver. It might come in handy.
Oh. Thanks awfully, Dad.
Here we are. Cost you £5.
Isn't that rather expensive?
I'm French, you see.
Ah, oui. All right.
Oh, I'm a bit out of breath. Sorry. Been working hard lately. Listen, how old are you?
20.
Yeah, they all say that. How old are you? Honest.
Nearly 18.
So are you over 16?
I swear.
I once got caught with a 15-year-old. Cheeky little bastard. In the street, too. £2 fine for soliciting, plus 3 months in the nick for underage. My Fred wasn't half mad.
Your Fred?
my friend, my protector, you could call him. Like a father to me, he is.
Is he really?
Well, it's not the Ritz, but it's homey.
Mais c'est charmant, votre appartement, mademoiselle. Il est très bien décoré, avec ses draps de jeu.
What's all that about?
I thought you were French.
French trained, dear. Money on the mantelpiece, please. That's right. Lights on or off?
Off, I think.
Oh, a bit shy, are you? It's your first time.
Oh, no, I'm always doing it.
Oh, good. I'll get your clothes off. I haven't got all afternoon, you know. Put one of these on. Gin, dear? Mother's ruin. I work better on it. Oh, for God's sake, get undressed.
I'm sorry,
You only need your trousers, dear, nothing else.
Look, couldn't I stay and talk a little first?
Talk? Oh, what are you paying me a fiver for? A little light conversation.
I'm sorry. You see, I lied just now. This is my first...
Oh, good, I do, Pickham. Come over here, dear. I'll fix things for you.
No.
No?
You see, that's just the kind of thing I'm trying to get away from. I'm sure if you'll just leave it for a bit, I'll be all right.
A bit? How long's that?
Well, it could be just a few minutes, or it could be half an hour.
Oh, it could be all night. I know you first-timers. I want another fiver, dear.
I haven't got that.
Oh, then it's finished, love. Now, please. My profession, child, is money that can't stay by my mind. Sorry, daughter. You ought to find a nice older woman. Amateur, like, kind. I can go for your sort, and of course they have patience. I'm afraid patience is the one thing I can't afford. Goodbye, dear. Come back in 10 years' time.
You've hardly touched your damned envelope.
Sorry, I'm not awfully hungry.
A little air sickness?
Oh, no, I love the flight. Seeing London from the air.
Nothing I've ever...
Really?
And is it perhaps the shock of hearing that we're going ahead with the divorce?
No, it isn't that. But could I ask you a question, Mum?
Of course.
If you found out that there wasn't another woman at all, would it make any difference?
I can't explain it to you, darling. You're far too young to understand.
That isn't true. I'm sorry, Mum. But I'm not a child anymore to be comforted and lied to about the facts of life. I consider myself an adult.
It's not what you consider yourself that matters. It's what we consider you.
And that's utter nonsense. It's everything that's wrong with my generation and with yours. It's an outrage against nature, that's what it is, to treat a 17-year-old as if he was still 7.
Tony, have you been drinking?
Yes, 3 ports.
With your father?
No, by myself, in a bar in Jermyn Street.
That's not allowed to a boy of 17.
I know. There are far too many things that aren't allowed to boys of 17.
And why in Jermyn Street?
Never mind. Mum, try and see me as at least half grown up and tell me what went wrong between you and Dad.
Well, it's very difficult. Even to a half grown up.
I realize that, Mum. Please believe me. I understand much more than you know.
Oh, Tony, you've changed.
No. Just 3 months older than when you last saw me, that's all. What went wrong?
What did your father say went wrong?
He never said a word against you, I promise.
Against me? That means you think he could have.
Well, I don't know, of course, mind you, but couldn't he?
In these things, the blame is never all on one side. I was married too young, I suppose. And in India, it wasn't then considered quite right to tell a young bride all she should know about, well, certain things.
I understand.
I hated it. I hated that side of it from the very beginning. Perhaps if I'd been told. But I don't think it would have made all that much difference. Your father's... What should we call it to make it sound polite? Appetites?
Well, very strong. I would say unnaturally strong.
Is there anything unnatural about a man or a woman wanting something that his nature tells him to want?
I don't want to talk any more about it, Tony, if you don't mind.
That's all right. We've made an advance anyway.
To me, it isn't an advance. Oh, I've so much to ask you. But first of all, I've a bit of bad news. I've been summoned to serve on a jury from tomorrow.
Sounds rather fun.
It's horrible, but it must be done.
What's the case, do you know?
No, they never tell you till you get there. Probably a lot of motoring offences. But it means I'll be stuck in London all this week and the week after. So I'm afraid St. Andrews...
Oh, Mum, don't say that's off.
Well, I won't be able to go, Tony.
Oh, bad luck. I'll go alone, then.
I was wondering if you couldn't ask some school friends.
Oh, not a hope. They'll all be with their families somewhere.
What about Prince Fenlon?
How did you hear about him?
He's been round here several times.
Has he?
Yes, he said you'd ask him to come and see you in the holidays.
To mention something?
I'm sure he'd go.
To watch golf? I shouldn't think in his country they've ever heard of it.
I talked to him. I believe he'd go anywhere in the world you went.
He gave you that impression, did he?
Mm, he's been popping in every other day. I'm sure he'd go.
The Siamese prince. It's an idea.
He's not Siamese. He's Elamite.
I know, but no one can remember that. They all look the same anyway.
That isn't true. This Prince Fenlon is one of the most beautiful little boys I've ever seen.
Mum, boys aren't beautiful.
Well, it seems silly to call someone who looks about 10 handsome.
He's quite old, really.
If I realised that, well, he'd hardly be calling you Tony. What do you call him?
Chinky. Not very original. Mum, can I go and ring him up?
Yes, of course. We've finished anyway. He's staying at the Ritz.
I know. I think he's got a whole floor.
Oh, gracious. Well, I hope one small room at the head of you private hotel St. Andrews will be all right for him. And without a bath.
It will, Mum. Don't worry.
Everything all right, Mrs. Davenport?
Splendid. Thank you, Miss Wilkinson.
Your boy didn't eat his dandelion.
Overexcitement,